and scheduling. My PT's been wonderful, so it's like I, you know.
I'm sure you got there. Well, I sent down an email today and said, this is your last chance.
It's only your slides that Greg's just going to go through.
Okay. Start notifying
Hello, everybody. This is the public meeting for the new clubhouse at the Eisenhower Golf Course. And I am Joe Hollebeck, and I am the project manager for Department of Public Works Engineering. I'm going to go ahead and introduce you to the team that will be answering questions or presenting. First one to the right here, raise your hand, Ed, is Ed Masick. He's with Wheeler Goodman Masick, and he's the principal for the architecture firm. Behind him is Greg Lyons, who will be doing a lot of the presentation today, and he's also with Wheeler Goodman Masick. Next to him is Terry Schumann, who is the civil engineer. And over to my left here is Bruce Brucci with the Department of Recs and Parks. And he is representing Recs and Parks today to ask any of those type of questions. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Greg, let him go through the presentation, and then we'll take some time and we'll take any questions and those type of things when we're done. Thanks. Great.
Thank you, Joe. So Joe took care of the introductions. We're going to go through our project background, the program for this project, the existing conditions and site analysis. Terry will run through that. Then we'll lay out we'll show you and walk through our schematic design for the building with following Terry's site discussion, then timeline and next steps, followed by questions. We'll sort of open up the floor for comment and questions. So this is the project team. Joe went through that. We have DPW, Department of Parks and Recreation, Wheeler Goodman Masick Bay Engineering. Project background, it starts in 2017 with the acquisition of the golf course by the county. Then the golf course renovation master plan prepared by Andrew Green. We did a study in 2018, WGM did for the new clubhouse. That was informed and sort of prepared in conjunction with the master plan process, the course master plan. The course was renovated 2019 through 2021. That included the demolition of the existing clubhouse. That's a big piece of why we're here, to introduce this replacement clubhouse to you. And then at the end of 2022, we began the design for the new clubhouse and got to a level where we're here to present and share our developments with you, community. So the program, this is a two-story clubhouse with exterior decks that will overlook the course from the upper level. The upper level of the clubhouse is administrative offices. It's a grill room, which is a sort of restaurant space. We have public restrooms, a kitchen, and a multi-purpose and community space, all within that upper floor footprint. Our lower level has the retail pro shop, the public restrooms as well. There's another set of them there for exterior access. The snack bar and the golf cart storage. So the upper level is just over 9,000 square feet, 9,074 square feet. Our lower level is 7,939. And all of those exterior upper level decks are 3,198 square feet. The parking spaces for this site are dictated by the overall use of the building, and we have 202 parking spaces, including the handicap spaces and electric vehicle charging stations and spaces as well. Terry will walk through the entire site layout so that we sort of show everything as it lays out. The project is going to be LEED Silver certified, so that's a sustainable design feature that will be integrated into the building to make it more environmentally friendly and more cost-effective to maintain and operate for the lifespan of the building. The project will complement the course and the renovations, the long-term renovations that went into effect here. And everything that we're doing here is basically just building on that. So the idea is to insert this clubhouse and enhance the overall experience without detracting from the experience that's already out there and already has been established. And Terry will walk through the overall site project location.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Terry Schumann. This is we wanted to show why this slide was just the overall golf course. You can see it in close proximity to Indian Creek School, got the fairgrounds, Route 178, with the main access off of Route 178 like it exists today. So that blue area right there is the work area. That's the area where we're proposing the improvements. So I'm sure you're all familiar with this picture, but I just wanted to show you where just a small portion, approximately about 4 acres of area that we'll be disturbing out of a 209-acre tract. So next slide. A little hard to see, but this you can just see again, the access off of Generals Highway, that'll remain the same. I'll show you in the next slide. And then you have that upper parking lot, and then you have that lower parking lot. And again, we'll keep that same concept for parking. We'll expand on it a little bit. And then you see the pro shop and the cart. So those are the two structures that will be removed and replaced with the new structure. And I'll show you that in the next slide. But we just wanted to just close proximity to Generals Highway and in the area where we're going to be working. So again, this is a fulfillment of the work that was done several years ago. I mean, they tore down the clubhouse or the building that they had out there, and this is really just a fulfillment of that. They didn't do it back then, but this is a fulfillment of that construction to finish the project off for the experience of the golfers. So again, like I said, let me see that. Can I see that?
Yeah.
So again, the access off of Generals Highway will stay the same. We're going to widen out a little bit the access coming in. That'll still be a directional. That really is a cart. You know, you can drop off your bags, go to the upper parking lot, and then park and go to the facility and then down to the golf course. We're going to change this. This access right now is just an exit only. We're going to widen that out to a two-way. So we do that for two reasons. It's good for the traffic flow for the future, but it also allows us to section off a lower parking area for the time being while this facility is being built. So it allows us to section off this upper area while we build this facility, allow full free moving traffic back to the lower lot to access the golf course while we're building this new building. The lower parking we're going to do expansion on the sides and toward Generals Highway just to get a little more parking. Ultimately, we have 202 parking spaces. We essentially have about half and half, a little more in the lower parking and then increasing the parking in the upper area. We do have an access then down below on the lower parking that people can drive their carts or bring their carts to the pro shop and start your golf tee times. This access will also serve as a fire department access for the building. And then again, Greg will get into the building. It's just being combined as the pro shop, the cart storage, and the snack bar and everything. The pavilion stays the same. Nothing changing on the pavilion. From a standpoint of utilities, the site served by private well and septic. It will continue to be served by private well and septic. We just did our perk test up in the upper area right there. We got some good sand, and that's where ultimately the septic system for this new building will be. We'll continue to use the well that exists over by the putting green and likely drill a new well for the building. The building will also have fire suppression tanks for the new building. It will be a green LEED building, which Greg will get into as well. And for stormwater, we will be retrofitting the existing and the proposed parking with stormwater management in the form of microbio areas, storm filters, and things that will treat the water, which right now, really, there is no stormwater management in that upper and lower parking lot. We'll do all this in accordance with the county and state guidelines and rules. Forest, we don't intend to clear any forest. We will be clearing some trees, certainly, with the expansion of the parking lot. I think, Greg, that's probably about it from a site standpoint. I think we'll get through the presentation. I'm sure if you have any questions, we'll...
I think it's worth mentioning, though, that we're not going to impact or alter any of the golf course operations.
Correct.
You know, the greens, the 9th, the 18th green, the tee boxes, putting green, driving range, they're all going to be left alone, not touching them. In fact, we're going out of our way to make sure we don't adversely impact any of those existing features because they're part of this wonderful rebirth of Eisenhower as a golf destination.
Where would the temporary pro shop go?
We're still working that out. We're working with Ed. Where's your... There he is. Yeah. We had a meeting last week about just preliminary discussions. We're pretty early in that kind of discussion, but we have... We talked about the upper lot having to come offline so we can use that for construction staging and things, and then where we're actually going to build the building. So the key factor is getting golf patrons in safely in their cars, the park, get them to the pro shop, get them in a cart or whatever, and then get them to the tee boxes so they can play.
The blue spots.
Blue spots were just representing some stormwater. So the ones in the parking lot you can just walk out in this parking lot here and you can see the depressions in the parking lot. That's kind of what they are.
It's not in ground pool, right?
It is not in ground pool.
Just want to clear that.
It's another hazard that you...
If it were, my ball would be in it, so it doesn't matter.
It's a matter.
In the picture on the left, coming from the upper parking lot, there's a little, that loopy coming down to the pro shop. Is that a cart path?
It's a handicap path to get people from the upper parking areas, an ADA path to get
okay.
people down.
So when it's finished, if you were parked in the upper and you were getting your bag, you would drive into the lower, up the road to the parking lot? There's no access to the upper parking lot unless you're handicapped, except through the lower parking lot, correct?
Oh, no, there's some steps here that go up alongside the building, and then there's this is a cart path, so it's a 5-foot minimum path that comes up to this upper drop-off area where the bag drop here with some parking there. But there is there's a path with some steps along here that connects up to that upper level.
So you'll have access both from the upper and the lower.
Okay.
We're just all want to drive our cart.
Sure.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And so will these slides have a project schedule on it?
At the very end.
Can I just want to introduce yourself.
Hi, I just wanted to say hello. I'm Lisa Rodbian, and I'm the councilwoman for this part of the county, and I'm very excited to see this project continue to move forward. I saw the designs on the website, and I just thought, this is going to be such an exciting, an exciting facility. And someone correct me if I'm wrong, the name is still going forward in honor of Al Green, yes? which I also think is a wonderful tribute to like our local hometown hero. So
a new skip person.
What's that?
A new skip person.
Awesome. That's very cool. I apologize. I'm actually going to another meeting this evening that is also from 6 to 8, but I wanted to just say I'm following this, and I'll be following up with the county folks that are here just to hear the feedback, and I hope you all are as excited about this as I am. I mean, the golf course is beautiful, and to have this facility, you know, to finally something kind of like the crowning jewel of the golf course, to have that finally in place, you know, and moving out of the, you know, the kind of temporary facilities that are there now. So thank you for coming, and thank you for, you know, holler if you need anything. You can easily just look up my name and find my email on the website if you have any thoughts that you want to share with me. So
well, thanks for supporting it.
Yes, I'm excited. It's great.
Yes.
Just a question. So can you clarify, are you going to expand the lower lot parking?
Yes.
Where are you going to expand?
Along the edges.
Like all the way?
This sort of square shape here of the lower lot is going to be expanded in this area by that bay of parking, so that 60-foot bay in this direction, and then this strip is going to be about 10 feet further over, just to get a few more spaces within the lot.
So you're going to expand in to the right.
Correct.
We're expand to the right and to the right.
Corner that leaves next to that. So that is why I am asking.
Understood.
Yes.
That'll just so you know, that'll be an expansion and then a wall. So because there is some grade right there. So we're going to expand the parking lot and then put a retaining wall because it goes up in grade.
Like how tall?
It's 6 foot high. It's about a 6 foot high wall.
But the wall won't be visible from your property. It'll allow us to kind of cut into the grade some to expand that lower level. So you won't see a wall, you'll see.
So it's before the ditch?
It's before the ditch.
Since it is the preserve, are we gonna do anything? Someone has to be the tree, okay? Anything solar wise, or if you've ever stood on the first tee, it's always a wee bit windy at the top of that hill.
Well,
I'm not an engineer, you know, just asking, you know. If I were building a building these days, I'd consider solar on the roof. I mean, I'm no genius when it comes to this.
Oh, well, the programmatically, the building will meet the county's criteria for high.
Yeah, no, I just...
And photovoltaics and things like that are an option. Right now, we're not considering those because of the orientation of the building.
I think we'll have some better signage off the road. The little sign we have there now, a lot of brick squealing takes place there. People kind of get up and walk before they know it. Hopefully, do some better signage.
Well, I think they need signage 100 yards or 200 yards on either side of the entrance so that people know it's coming up.
Okay. If anything we can do to help them in the meantime, it might be good.
That's a state...
Brick squealing up there.
Yeah, that's state highway.
Okay, give them a call then.
Right. Well, he's my state highway guy right there. So he heard you.
You know, the access across the street from the entrance has been expanded out to keep people from going around you while you're trying to make a left in there.
Right.
So anything you can do with the county to widen that road in that area would be very advantageous to both that neighborhood and people turning into development.
And I might add on that, if you're coming from the mall area, making a left into the facility, because they pushed that out, folks might not know that, so you're going to make a left, and people are flying up behind you, thinking they can get around.
It was only 4 years ago a young man had his wheels turned instead of straight ahead like you're supposed to when you want to turn, and he got hit from behind from a car coming from that direction.
Yeah.
And he got pushed into traffic and got hit very badly. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't. But you know what I do now? I stop waiting.
It's
just
a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you doing? Anyway.
Yeah, it's a, Generals Highway is a scenic and historic highway. When we go through the permit review process, the state will be looking at it, the county will be looking at it. And I think all those points are valid, and we're, you know, we're taking them down and we'll look into it.
A lot of that was added during the pandemic when Eisenhower was closed. And so it was easy to think, well, we can come out and put these cones wherever those things are, because nobody was turning into Eisenhower.
Well, I know people that live in there, and they have an issue.
They have an issue trying to come out. I know they do.
And I live on Honeysuckle Lane, and we have an issue.
It's tough to get out of there.
You know, so I understand the problem. But if you could expand the road, get the county to pitch in and say, you know, for safety reasons, let's get this thing handled, because people are going to stop here. People are going to stop here. You know, let's get some way around it and get some sort of view so people can pull out into oncoming traffic. That's all I'm saying, because I've been there 26 years. I mean, it's not like I just moved there. I've been dealing with it a long time.
So what we want to do is go back to the presentation, because there's more to show you, and then we'll hold questions. It's not very long. We only have like four or five more slides.
So this is the proposed upper level floor plan. So just to walk you through, you'd seen sort of all the site modifications that we were proposing for this, but the overall sequence here is so here where the word level is, where you're coming in on that one-way drive, that entry drive into the site. The bag drop is basically just under the ER and upper. So you come up to this upper level, and the first thing that you see here is the entry into the admin and support space and the grill area of the upper level of the clubhouse. On the other side of the parking lot here, so there's basically two split entries. The other one here is for the multi-purpose and community space here. So you come into an entry there, you have your multi-purpose space, and then we have a multi-purpose events deck to the plan south of that, which is also accessed from the side out to the parking here. In between these two spaces, on the user side, we have men's and women's rooms that are accessed off the circulation corridor between the grill room and the multi-purpose and community space. And then the entire facility, this upper level of the facility, is served by this kitchen space in the middle, which has access to the community room as well as to the grill room. The grill room has a deck out. This looks out over the first and 10th tee boxes. The multi-purpose deck here looks down over 18th. And then the kitchen in here with a concealed delivery yard with gates. Basically, that's what you would your entry sequence from the upper level parking.
We're going to wait till the end.
I know, but Wally's got the slide up. Where's the stairwell to get downstairs?
Sure. So there's an exterior site stair that comes down along this side. That was one that is sort of adjacent to the to that cart path element. This stair here is your access from the circulation space down to that lower level. So there isn't an interior stair, because basically you go down and around to access the lower level. I'll go straight to that. So you come down the site to this lower level where you can enter into the pro shop. Because it's on two levels, it's this level is basically dug into that upper level of the site. So there isn't direct access from the top, except for to come down that cart path, the site steps here, or to come around this paved lane here from the lower level of parking area as well.
So the carts are going to be kept in the lower level?
Correct. So the carts are here in this yellow space here. So these carts will be stored directly under the multi-purpose space above. We have a cart return area underneath the deck above, and then cart wash area where the carts will be prepped and returned back into the facility for storage.
On the pro shop side of things, we do have our pro shop looking out over the cart staging area that is existing. The existing pro shop is basically right in here. So that this pro shop would be in the same place logistically, but actually sort of integrated into the site. The pro shop will have glass along the east and the the west and the south sides. So it'll have great visibility out to the practice green. And then we have this covered exterior area for the turn, the snack bar area, and the women's and men's restrooms that will be accessed from this covered area on the exterior. So when you come in off of...
I won't have to go on any of the steps if it was all set.
So yeah,
if you guys remember that.
Oh no, I don't. I can only imagine.
Bill Malloy was there. We have a plaque out in front for him. He used to work underneath the steps.
So the this covered exterior and the snack bar and turn area will also have some seating out in front that would be for golfers to grab and eat a snack if they choose to, or move on with the rest of their round. This, as Terry mentioned, this is a paved fire lane as well, so fire apparatus can get to this point to be able to respond to an emergency. And as Terry mentioned, we do have fire suppression tanks. So these are water tanks that are below grade that would serve a sprinkler room to be able to respond to automatically respond to an emergency on the site here.
Is this for electric carts?
Yes.
Yes.
Before we move on from the plans, Ed, do you want to say anything? Because I know you've reviewed all these.
Well, my name's Ed Ruiz. I'm the general manager of the club now. I've been there for 2.5 years. Well, July will be 3 years. Hard to believe. Yeah. I relocated from New York and worked in a club, a public course in Connecticut, almost 12 years. Before taking on this, I'm really excited to be involved with this project, working with team has been great, and I think it's going to be an outstanding improvement to the club and give it a real club environment feel. And there's so much demand here. I think we have close to 60,000 people on our mailing list compared to what we had in Connecticut, which is 7,000. So there's a huge market here for golf, and it's really exciting. And working with the county and everybody else has been great. As far as the plans go, I think everything's exactly how it should be. Electric cars, hopefully we'll have GPS on those vehicles as well to keep people from jumping curbs. And other than that, all I have to say is I love the way that we've gone through a couple of design plans and having the shop, the visibility of the first and 10th tee for our operation is important, as well as having bathrooms. And there will be bathrooms on the upper level.
Will there be service in the grill area? In other words, tables, waiters, yes. Waitresses?
Sure, it'll be a 19th hole, if you will.
Yeah.
Yep. And the lower level will be, grab-and-go food for speed. We didn't want people making the turn and having to go back to the grill room.
Right.
Because everyone knows how long that can take.
Right.
But I think the overall plan is great for a lot of reasons, especially managing the operation and so on.
I've been asked this by our league.
You're not going to ask me for the menu, are you?
Not yet. That'll come. But this restaurants are a big thing for us ladies.
Yes.
And at the turn, we've been asked many times to please make sure there are 4 stalls at the lower level. So when you make the turn, you don't have that backup.
Okay.
Just mentioning that.
That's the plan.
We'll certainly take that in consideration. Thank you. Question over here.
Any showers?
No. No.
How about a store?
And on the turn, will there be some direction there? Or is it some loop or some direction? Because it can get a little crazy from what I see where the turn is for the outside grill. Is there some kind of direction or guidance for
For us happy motorists.
Yeah. I'm going to leave that up to Ed, because he's going to be in charge of operations when we open.
We'll direct people in the right way. I'm sure the way it's set up, it's going to be, people are going to get used to it so quickly.
Right.
And it's going to be fast.
Are the bathrooms downstairs large enough that there could be an area where you could put cabinets? I mean, small cabinets. I know there's a lot of leagues. They have men's leagues, they have women's leagues. And part of the situation, and we're not talking massive cabinets, we're talking one cabinet or locker, where people store their league material.
That's a good point. Like, sometimes really high school teams come and they've got 30 backpacks and they pile them up in the shops.
But this is more for leaving material that you leave with the next league for the weekly, your weekly stuff. And in the old Eisenhower, there was a cabinet where the leagues could put stuff that they were using to set up for their league play.
Okay.
And we didn't know if whether or not those bathrooms would be able to,
or some other,
or lockers or something
locker
of that
space.
Sort
that
could be used for leagues. Because, like I said, I know the men's league, the women's league, and you have some leagues that play in the evening.
I think with somebody asking about showers, usually that comes in hand or with a locker room. But where you would rent a locker room, generate revenue from that. I think what she's trying to say is something where people can just, you know, interim, people come in sometimes from a business trip and they come in their suit, the Navy Academy kids show up in their uniforms and they got to change.
We're talking about the appliance of information for
women's
leagues. After you finish playing, you come in,
or your scorecards,
that stuff.
Okay.
Some sort of meeting room.
Doesn't have to be
storage. Just flexible. You can leave things for
plus you could have your score sheets and your season-long birdie charts and things. Yeah,
okay.
Just a gathering place at the end of the round rather than the shop, which is where they do it at the entrance right now.
Right.
It's very congested.
Creates noise and everything else.
Okay.
We can look at the grill room.
Just a few quick views of the proposed structure here. So this upper view is what you'd be looking at from the parking lot, with your grill and admin entry over here, your multi-purpose community space over here. This is the view from the golf course, sort of down near the, probably this would be about the 10th tee or so. So you're looking at the turn down here, pro shop on the lower level, cart barn over here on the lower level, multi-purpose space, and the grill up here as well. So
is the grill going to be accessible from the cart path at the turn by any chance, or do you have to park and get out on the side?
No, there's a set of stairs over there.
So you
oh, the grill will
go
upstairs.
Yeah. So the idea is for the turn to be your facility to get food. So if you're going upstairs to the grill room, you would end up parking down here and going upstairs.
Well, the reason I say that is that I'm playing for 37 years, and I know that one thing's for sure is you really back up a golf course if you go step to nine and stop,
yes.
And if you can't get in and out.
That's why we did the lower
snack.
So you do have a lot of that.
Yeah,
so
it's the house.
So where is the entrance to the pro shop on that?
It's over on this.
Over
so sort of these columns over here.
Okay.
It's just in over there. That's where it's proposed.
What's the exterior material? What's the exterior material?
Great question. So the ground floor level is like a split face sort of textured CMU block. The upper floors will be cementitious rain screen siding. So this is sort of like a panel system that will give it a nice uniform appearance. And this infill piece here is a wood look panel that would give that sort of interstitial volume a little different character than the and sort of help it stand out from the larger volumes on either side. I'd say the defining characteristic of this is going to be glass, because we're really celebrating the view out towards the course. So it's a lot of glass with some cementitious sort of uniform cladding on top adjacent to it. And then the roof, we're proposing a standing seam roof for that, which you won't see much of from the course, but you will on the upper parking lot side of things. So timeline and next steps here. So we have our today with our meeting here. In the spring, we're going to have a 50% DD review meeting. Late spring is our initial grading permit submission. Early summer is our 100% DD submission to DPW. Summer has our DD phase cost estimate update, and then after that, our construction document kickoff, where we get into the nitty-gritty of the building. Late summer is going to be our first grading revision. Early fall, we'll bring our building permit submission when ready. Fall, we'll have our 75% CD phase submission to DPW and a second grading revision that we're anticipating if needed. Late fall 2023 will be the final grading permit response and approval that we're anticipating. Winter of 2024 will be the bid document submission with our final cost estimate. Spring will bring the bidding and award and our temporary golf operations improvements at that time to get the logistics in place for construction. Summer, we'll have another public meeting before the kickoff of the clubhouse construction. And then we're anticipating fall of 2025 for the clubhouse to be completed and open for all of you to enjoy.
Just a question. We have a tournament this June there. We're planning June 24, June 25. Ed, can we still have tournaments while this is going on?
Absolutely.
Yes? Okay.
So you don't anticipate us being knocked out for a while?
Never.
We're going to hope for that.
But the grounds itself will not be until when?
Of course.
No,
when will you start removing, when will we start noticing that there's something happening?
So the basically, we may have some temporary operations sort of moving around in spring of 2024.
Okay.
But it's the actual summertime where things are going to get...
So with this grading revision...
That's all paperwork.
Yeah, okay. It's permit assessment.
You know, when I hear grading, that's not what I think paper.
Cheese? Cheese grader?
Yeah. Cheese.
So that's our timeline here. We'll go into to questions here. Comment cards will be available. We have Joe's email for additional comments to be sent. And... open it up to comments and feedback.
I do want to put an asterisk on the timeline, just so we're honest here. I mean, that's our best guess.
Right.
We're in the, we're moving out of cartoon stage, you know, the colored drawings and stuff, and we're getting into the real engineering, the septic analysis, soil borings and things like that. So, you know, as we move along, I know there are differences of opinions on when to start. Should we start in the summertime and get as much done, right, while the weather's good and it's easy to work? Should we start in the fall when the golf operations are closing up for the year and work through the late fall and into the winter and things like that? So all this has to be juggled with maximizing the accessibility of the golf course. It was clear to us when we started this, the golf course has to be maintained. No more closings. It's gotta stay open and operate. So we have challenges trying to put this little building on the knob and keep all of you safe while you're going around.
You do know that when they did the golf course, they said they were closing it in October, opening it up in April.
Right.
2 years later.
I just wish they would have graded some of our site back then, because it would have been the easier job for us than it is now.
Do we have a quick intro for four questions?
Is Mr. Green here?
That's right.
I'm looking for. Are you Quincy Green?
I'm his grand, Albert's grandson.
There you go. I'm sorry. I wanted to recognize you before we get started, because one of the important things, and Councilwoman Rodvian alluded to it earlier, is if you go to the temporary pro shop now, you'll see the plaque that's in there that recognizes the clubhouse. And when we get this beautiful building finished and opened, and hopefully it's sooner than June, but not as delayed as the site work was. The new clubhouse facility has already been approved to be named in honor of Mr. Al Green Sr. And Mr. Green's grandson has joined us tonight to talk a little bit about their family and how important this is. Mr. Green, I'll let you take a few minutes if you'd like.
First off, everybody here, honestly, for all of y'all's support behind the clubhouse, this is something that means a lot to both myself and my entire family. So I'm Al Green's only grandson, so I grew up watching him play a lot of golf, talk about a lot of golf. I'm watching golf, as many of y'all already know, but y'all definitely picked the right person to name it after, that's for sure. Man of great character, great integrity. I honestly can't say anything bad about him. That's not just because he's my grandfather, but honestly because of who he is as a man. So thank y'all, honestly, from the bottom of my heart. It really means a lot to me. I wish my parents and my aunt could have made it, but it's okay. So yeah, just thank y'all again. I can't express it enough.
Thank you for being here. And if anybody here is not familiar with the story, please take the time. The Uneven Fairways documentary is on YouTube. It's free. You should watch that and learn. This is important history. This is African American history in the United States. This is golf history in the United States. And it's history right here in our hometown. And so there's a reason that this clubhouse is being named for Mr. Green, and everybody should hear that story. Thank you, sir, for being here tonight.
Thank you.
Questions? You want to take questions? Yeah, go ahead.
So on your interior finishes, are there going to be display cases or built-in cabinetry? Because I didn't really see much talk about the interior concept.
No, I mean, but there'll be... Typically, there'll be display cases and spaces to hang plaques for women's champion and men's champion, holes in one, whatever there'll be. There'll be in the entry lobby, probably mostly focused in the grill room on the upper floor. Yes?
I saw the upper deck space is about 3,200 square feet. How much of that is dedicated to the grill side versus the...
It's probably, what, two-thirds, one-third?
Yeah, one-third for the grill, and two-thirds for the multi-purpose.
So, ballpark, how many people would that equate to for being able to use that grill side?
The grill is 60 people, 60 seats.
The multi-purpose project, do you plan on having ability to rent it out for weddings and things like that?
I'm going to have Rec and Parks talk about their programs.
It would be available for community use, and we hope for after tournament dinner events, for weddings on weekends. Yes, in much the same way that we use Compass Point now.
So are there going to be any outdoor speakers or TVs or anything that will carry across Generals to the residential area that
No.
we would hear when you're doing those events?
Not that's in the plans at present.
Okay, so there are no outdoor speakers or anything like that planned at present. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, along those lines, I was interested in learning about the events and the hours, because as you know, everything that is hosted on that side carries over the sound, and even if you have, like, you know, midnight events, it will carry over through all the neighborhoods around just because of the landmark or whatever you call the space. So do you have, like, any specific kind of times in terms of events for weddings? Is it, like, all night or morning?
No, I would expect that it's going to be the same way it was until the old facility closed and was torn down a couple of years ago. I expect those operating hours to be pretty much the same. It depends on what events are there, but for the most part, it would mimic that schedule.
And then it's going to be open to the community to events?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's one of the key drivers here, is providing more community space.
And then just my last question. In terms of what construction starts, that is going to start in next year, 2024, correct? That's correct, the construction?
At the earliest, yes.
At the earliest. Is, like, also your times for construction? I know that it's going to be variable based on not interrupting the game, but also weather. So do you have any kind of idea? Are you going to be super early, super late?
The county has regs on when they can start.
You mean the hours that the contractors can be working?
I'm the clearly next door neighbor. So it's like, yes.
It's 8 to 4, right? It's
4 a.m.
Yeah, just kind of like standard business hours. I think construction people usually get in 7, you know, and kind of start. I think there's noise regulations. I think they really can't make noise until like 8
I have to tell you, I sat there in my living room for 2 years listening to
We'll have some of that.
We'll have that.
And we'll have some of that, especially at the beginning, you know, when we're doing the site work. You know, they don't want them backing over people, so they make them do it. Yes, ma'am.
Do you foresee any issue with parking when there are events during golf hours? You know, like if you do have a wedding or you do have a community issue.
Terry, you want to talk about the parking down where the number came from?
Yeah, we don't see a problem with that. It'll be all set in times. We'll have the events, and then the events will be at late after the golf hours, if you will. I think 202 parking spaces. By code, 179 is required.
Well, how many are there now, parking spaces?
For that, I didn't have that answer. Existing. I think maybe 160.
The reason, you remember the conversation we had about pushing out the edges of the parking? So we had two reasons for that. One is, on the inside of that lower lot, it's just all asphalt, so we have to put in interior landscaping and other things that are required by the parking code and by the county regs. But in addition to that, we had to provide surge parking for when you did have overlapping events, one in the multi-purpose room and then active golf course or something.
How many does it accommodate? I think somebody asked the question, but I didn't hear the answer. How many people are allowed in that multi-purpose room at one time?
The grill rooms seats 60 people.
But the other one?
And the multi-purpose room can accommodate 150.
The facility looks great. My only concern, I feel like it's already at a high price point as far as a muni golf course goes. I play all over the place, and this is like the most expensive place around. So I don't know. I know that this is probably more of a question for you. Is the facility going to impact the already high price to play there? With your talking to golf carts?
Where are you asking me?
I don't know.
It's got to include Parks and Rec or
yeah. That would be whoever we have as the golf course operator. We would work that out. We're way too early. No operational decisions have been made along those lines yet.
Because it's already at a ridiculous point. I mean, that's, you know, there's not even, you know, benches on the tee boxes. So, come on.
Well, I'd like to speak to you about
that.
Any concerns you have, I'll be my part of that, but. You know, our goal from the beginning was to keep it at a commensurate level with public golf at a high level. It wasn't going to break you apart, to my understanding. When you look at daily fee courses that are charging a minimum of $125, I mean, a day.
daily fee course, like renditions around here, or one of the deep dive courses. Yeah, 125, and that's where the daily fee is. So I think we're below that. That's 673 right now for county residents on weekend prime time, 65 weekday. So I don't know how much less you can go and operate effectively, you know. But I'd love to talk to you about it.
Sure.
That's cool. You know, I don't know what the rates were prior to me getting there. I would imagine they were pretty low.
I just think mini golf should be more accessible for. That's fine.
Okay.
We have a question.
Yeah, I came in a few minutes late, sir. Did you talk about the funding, where the funding has come from, or what the. I don't want to go over something in your head you've already covered. What is the budget for this? Do we have that? Is that public information?
Yeah, that's public information. It's part of the county's general capital program, and it's on the county's websites. You know, currently they're going through the next, you know, portion of the budget, and you know, probably what I would say is we'll find out what the final budget is when it's approved, when it gets presented by the county executive, which will be what, 1st of May, I think.
I guess I'm more interested in the actual number. Probably doesn't mean much to a novice like me, but it seems like cost overruns happen in construction budgets. Is the county prepared for that?
It's built. We get estimates from the engineers. Or, you know, they'll give us what they think it's going to cost based on today's dollars. Then we break out our crystal balls and we try to figure out what the future's going to be. Try to make sure that that's high enough that it can cover all of those unforeseen conditions and all of those price hikes. And it's been a real challenge with COVID and the supply chains. Right. Hopefully we're beyond that. We don't know. We tried, but our estimates that we're putting in there, that we put in the budget, is trying to capture all of those things.
And I guess the other question I have is that the facility has a driving range and a practice, a putting green, but there's no short game practice area. Are there any plans that have been discussed to either possibly include that in the current project or space to consider for something in the future?
That's beyond the scope of this project. This project is to get the clubhouse. So that's what we're doing. Those decisions were made, you know, when they built the new golf course, when it was when it was built. So, and I wasn't in that, so I can't answer to you what they did or didn't do at that point. So,
so have you said that if things start to get expensive, you'll still be able, the county will be able to handle it? That we would all of a sudden not be able to have a grill room?
I can't say that for sure. What's going to happen? You're asking. It's still in the budget process. There are still things that are going on and being discussed at those levels. So I can't. I don't know what the county council and the county executive is going to do. We've put in a budget. They're reviewing it. As the budget comes through, there may have to be some changes. We may have to, you know, we do things to try to get the project moving forward. We may have to go out and bid alternates in the hope that, you know, we get good pricing and we have the flexibility to keep the project moving. So we have some tools to try to keep doing it. So I can't say that we're not going to, you know, not do anything, because right now I don't know what the final budget even is. So as soon as that gets finalized, then maybe I can tell you. But at this point, I can't.
So if I heard you correctly, you don't. Do you have enough money to do the design for sure?
Oh yeah.
Okay. But you don't know you have enough money to do the construction.
It hasn't been funded yet. No.
And so does that need political support?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, there are two separate questions being asked. One about the cost of the building, and Joe and the people in Public Works establish the budget, and they do a great job at controlling the budget. There's contingencies, there's escalation, and all of that go into the budget. So once a project gets underway, it doesn't stop because it runs out of money or something. So that part of the process is under control. County Council has to fund the project. And so, as Joe said, the county is in the budget cycle now. The executive will be presenting a draft budget to council. There's already been 8 public meetings around the county, budget town halls. There'll be more opportunity as the budget progresses. If you're in favor of this project, or if you're opposed to this project, show up at the budget meeting and convince Mrs. Rodman and her associates to fund this project or don't fund this project, whichever side you're rooting for.
Who is that email address?
That one's mine.
It's yours. Okay.
Yep.
What was the woman's name? Our councilman. I should know who that is, but I don't.
Lisa Rodney.
Mr. Rodney.
Rodney.
Okay, looks like I think we got everybody's questions answered. I hope. I hope everybody enjoyed the meeting. We all appreciate you coming out and participating. And like we said, if you've got the comment cards, want to send those in, that's great. Also, you have my email. You can send some emails my way if you have any comments or questions. Eventually, we'll post those out.
And I saw a bunch of people trying to take pictures. This whole presentation will be posted on the Record Park website, along with your comments and questions from tonight. So give us a couple of days, you'll be able to see this all this material again.
I don't know if I turned it. I don't think I turned it off. I'll let you deal.